Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving Christian American patriots and those expatriates outside the wire, outside the U.S., wherever you might be listening. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt. This is episode 23-32, the 32nd podcast of 2023. A lot going on in the news cycle, a lot developing just over this weekend. I'm going to be talking about that, but more to the point of this apocalyptic war, this apocalyptic events that are unfolding. And some folks have asked, you know, could this be, isn't this, you know, prophesied? This is biblical. You even hear the godless slipstream media using the term biblical proportions or apocalyptic events, which is kind of interesting that they would use those terms. But even in the patriot community, the Christian patriot community in particular, these words, Gog and Magog war, the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, Psalm 37 war. So I'm going to talk about that tonight. Things are definitely heating up. You know, let me just say, bottom line up front, Israel is going to win. They're going to prevail. And they're going to have to earn it. They're up against some very determined enemies, adversaries. But they always have been. And they were told at this juncture, they are going to prevail. God's going to keep their hand. Israel is not ever going to go away again until the end of time, forever, immemorial. Israel is a permanent fixture. God gave it to them. They're not occupiers. They are living in their own land. In fact, they're not even in control of all the land God gave them. So I'm more concerned about the United States and the threats that we face here. Just recently, a group of 50 Syrian men crossed the Arizona border the other day, all of them without families. And this person posting this on Telegram, they're referring to a report from the Border Patrol, or someone was a journalist was taking information from the Border Patrol. And this person asked, how did they get from Syria to here? Who paid for their flights? If they're claiming asylum, are we to assume all of these military-age men have no wives, family, or children who would also want to claim asylum? Why is no one asking these questions or putting a stop to this invasion? Well, many of us have been asking those questions. The reason why this invasion is not being stopped is because we experienced a communist coup. And our country is under attack right now. We're in great peril. We do not enjoy the same guarantees as Israel that we are going to prevail and remain all the way through. In fact, we are a failing nation for many different reasons. So we're not guaranteed survival for eternity. We have enemies coming into our country from terrorist-sponsored countries. We've got special operations forces coming from the Chinese Communist Party infiltrating. And we've got nation states threatening the United States if we get involved in the Israeli conflict, from China to Russia to Iran and others. So this Abraham peace accord seems to be falling apart right now with this strengthening of relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia, for example. Now, and this is probably exactly what Iran intended, to disrupt that, because now the Arab world is cringing at Israel's response to this terrorist attack from a little over a week ago now. So I'm going to talk about that tonight, and I'm going to focus on these apocalyptic wars, biblical proportion, biblical wars, biblical events, because, well, the general majority of this listening audience are Christians, and this is of great importance to us because we believe that we are living in the end times, as was foretold, which is what makes our faith exceptional, is that it's based on fulfilled prophecy over and over and over. So of the previous prophecies that have come true, establishes a pretty reliable track record for us to believe that the prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled will be fulfilled. And we were told what to watch for when that happens, and, well, now we're watching it in our own headlines on a daily basis. So let's get into the news and commentary first. And the news and commentary is brought to you by Prepping 2.0 and the podcast to help take your preps to the next level. And I think that right now we should really be doubling down on this because of the times that we're in, because of the threats. And really the truth is that we've never, I don't think, been in more danger than we are now as a nation. And so I think we should be really doubling down on our food preparations and everything else to be as self-reliant as possible in these unprecedented events. And I say, expect the unexpected. This is not something you can, you know, plan out and say, well, I think this is how the end is going to go down, or this is how it's going to happen. I believe there'll be an economic collapse and then crime will go up. And I've always thought there's going to be an event that you never saw coming that just blindsided the whole world and changed everything forever. COVID-19 was a good example of that. This 9/11 was a good example of that. This terrorist attack, the invasion into southern Israel, and now a three-front war from the northeast and the north, from Lebanon, the northeast to Syria. Major movement right now, military movement by Iran, shoring up Hezbollah, major leaders meeting together with Iran and others. So things are getting pretty spooky. And I think that we need to really double down on our efforts to be prepared, to be self-reliant, prepare for war, and not like rally the troops. Let's all join and go fight. This is more like being taken for a ride that you have no control over, except for your community, your family, your group, your tribe, whatever you want to call it, to look out for each other. I think it's coming down to that. So Prepping 2.0. Prepping2-0.com. There's a lot of great information about how to take your preps to the next level. All right, so first of all, right, Islamic-controlled Scotland. And, you know, Scotland is just a very dear place to me in my heart. That's where my ancestors came from. And my grandfather moved here from Scotland. But I am so glad that he moved to the U.S. from Scotland. Hamas supporters taunt Jews about concentration camps. From Rare Foundation, in a disturbing incident that unfolded on the streets of Glasgow, Scotland, a woman draped in the Palestinian flag targeted a Jewish woman with a haunting message, "Don't forget where you went," in 1940. It's alarming to see the numbers of Muslims now in Scotland and their what is he, prime minister, their the executive branch of Scotland is a Muslim. It's just not even the same country anymore. Of course, they've been globalists and crying to, you know, to be part of the European Union forever, and more have given up their sovereignty. But yeah, this was kind of disturbing to actually to see that. A lot of strange things happening. In a tragic twist of fate from Gateway Pundit, a Minnesota woman and her husband, who had vocally advocated for Palestinian rights and protested against Israeli military actions, were killed in a Hamas attack. Cindy Flash, 67-year-old, originally from St. Paul, Minnesota, had emigrated to Israel decades ago. She married her husband, Yigal Flash, 66 years old, Israeli, the son of a Holocaust survivor, Holocaust survivors, plural. They settled in Kfar Aza, a community located just a few miles from the Gaza border. The couple's home in Kfar Aza sat right next to the security fence that Hamas militants broke through as they attacked Israel by land, sea, and air. And the irony is that she, an advocate for Palestinian rights, became a victim of the very group she sought to help. From the Epoch Times, this is from The World is Going Completely Insane, it let me off. China and Cuba keep their seats on the UN Human Rights Council despite multiple violations of human rights by each of those communist countries. Seriously, the Epoch Times reported China and Cuba are going to maintain their seats on the UN Human Rights Council. So, not that the UN had any credibility to begin with, but they keep doing things to further erode their credibility. Unbelievable. CCP Media sharing a post warning the U.S. not to interfere with Taiwan Strait amid the Hamas attack on Israel, saying, if you interfere with our Taiwan, we will interfere with your Israel. Isn't that something? Got some big players here that are injecting themselves into this. And something else here at home, ammunition shortages. This is predictable. The Army's Lake City ammunition plant has canceled commercial ammunition contracts from numerous outlets. The Truth About Guns is reporting that the Lake City ammunition plant has canceled their commercial ammunition contracts. So prices are going to go up and availability is going to go down. So hopefully you've been heeding the warnings all along to get it while you can now over the past several years. Because as it started to come back, people let their guard. Oh, it's back now. We've got supplies now. Well, I was just down there at the sporting good, the gun shop, and they've got cases of it stacked up there. Also, then you don't buy any because it's there now, and now it's not. So, hope you've got what you need. Hope you don't need what you've got. But if you need it, I hope you took advantage of the availability when it was there, because this might not just be a temporary thing. It might just be you got to run what you brung at this point, because the world's changing forever right before our eyes. All right, let's come back with segment two right after this. Stay there, Patriots. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Dares to be different.
This is the final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists, Marxists, and fascists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will rout the fake news media, and we will liberate America from these villains once and for all.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Welcome back to segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt, Radio Free Redoubt, episode 2332. Okay, now, you know, a few weeks ago, I started, introducing the concept, it's time to bring that back, the militias. Boy, now more than ever, you know, these people just got slaughtered in southern Israel. No police, no military, no response. Their communications had been sabotaged. They lost command and control. They lost communications between their outposts because of drone attacks, which took out their comms. And what a mess. We've got to be prepared. Oh, it was great seeing some footage, too, of some of these terrorists getting taken down by armed citizens. Some of that footage has just recently come out. But here we are, once again, looking at things that are unprecedented. Things that completely took us by surprise, could not have seen it coming, and the whole world changes in an instant, in a morning. In one morning news cycle, everything is different. Expect more of that, especially as they ramp up the rhetoric and they're backing it up with action. The Iranian president tells Macron of France, war will expand if Israel doesn't end the Gaza siege. And that was just earlier today. Well, they've echoed that same threat in other outlets and to other leaders. And right now, according to intelligence that Amir Sarfati has been sharing, there is heavy, heavy movement right now in northern Iraq and Syria and Lebanon related to Iranian troop movements and troops, equipment, mobilizing Hezbollah. And there have been some skirmishes back and forth between the Lebanese border up in the north and the Syrian border on the northeast. Rocket and mortar attacks and so on. So it's fairly limited, but at some point the Israeli military is going to have to deal with them as well. China is weighing in. They're saying that Israel's actions in Gaza have gone beyond the scope of self-defense, and the Israeli government must cease its collective punishment of the people of Gaza. They're ones to talk, right? China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi says. Wang, who made the comments on a call to his Saudi Arabian counterpart, see, they're trying to drive the wedge between Israel and Saudi Arabia, who are actually making headway. On Saturday, he said all parties should not take any action to escalate the situation and should return to the negotiating table as soon as possible, according to this foreign ministry readout. Negotiations are over. The talking is over with. It's done. There's no more negotiating. There's no more talking. We've participated in that rodeo many times. It's time to bring the hammer, and that's exactly what Israel is doing. There's no more negotiating now. They're done. You're out of here, and Israel is going to be sure that that entire area is rid of the cockroaches scurrying around underground, using civilians as human shields, building explosive manufacturing facilities under hospitals and schools and arms caches and everything else, firing missiles from heavily populated civilian populations on purpose. So when the Israelis take out the missile launch sites, civilians are getting killed, and then they're saying, oh, the atrocities of the Israelis. And there's just a lot of spin going on right now. And the Israeli Minister of Communications, Shlomo Karai, made a decision to stop the supply of internet services to internet companies in the Gaza Strip and to ban all types of services provided by Israeli internet providers to Gaza. Well, it's another example of why we should have alternative communications that does not rely on services, servers, or service providers. Good lesson there. Okay, so the Discern report just came out with another article. And these guys are squared away. They're patriots. Their stuff's right on it, and I really appreciate the work that they do. Their headline reads, "We are literally on the brink of an apocalyptic war between Israel and Iran." Well, that's true. We could be. And of course, apocalyptic, it's from the Greek word apokalypto, which means basically a lifting of the veil, an unveiling. That's what the word. But we use the word apocalyptic like, Mad Max, end of the world, doomsday, dystopian. That's apocalyptic, right? So that's kind of how we use that word now. But it actually could pull in other players as well. Now, almost 50 years to the day from the Yom Kippur War, when they were invaded on October 6th, 1973, 50 years, and there is this what's called the Shemitah cycle, a 50-year cycle. You can predict something significant related to Israel is going to happen every 50 years. The number 50 there is pretty astounding. So, anyway, on October 7th, they were attacked on the feast of Sukkot, the last day, another Israeli festival, and the Shabbat, a Saturday, when everybody turns off their cell phones, they unplug, they turn off the TV. They completely just, disconnect from the world. It's a time to rest and not be, connected to the news and your phone and everything. So their enemy took advantage of this. But Iran sent a message to Israel on Saturday stressing that it does not want further escalation in the Hamas-Israeli war. In other words, Israel, stop your advancement. But that it will have to intervene if the Israeli operation in Gaza continues. Two diplomatic sources with knowledge of the situation told Axios. Okay, so they're saying, we've got our red line. If you cross it, we are going to have to get involved. And while they're threatening that they might get involved, or they may have to get involved, they are moving mass movements of military equipment. There's tons of activity going on in Syria right now in northern Iraq. They are making a move like they actually intend to do something. So people have asked, could this be the Isaiah 17, prophecy, or Psalm 38, or Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel 37, and then the Ezekiel 38-39 war, and then the Psalm 37 war. And these are different things or different components of these wars. So I want to share with you, for our Christian listeners here, what some of this stuff might mean to us. Human Events just came out with this yesterday. Iran warns Israel it will intervene if Gaza operation continues. Well, it's going to continue. So if you're not bluffing, then we have to expect that you're going to actually get involved kinetically. Now, maybe or maybe not directly, but they are supporting Hezbollah. Hezbollah is Iran. That's their front group right there. So the Iranian foreign minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, told United Nations envoy to the Middle East at a meeting in Beirut, Lebanon on Saturday that while the nation does not want to see the ongoing Hamas-Israel war escalate further, that they well may take action, especially if Israel launches a ground offensive in Gaza. Well, they're pretty much to the point where they're going to have to at this point because Hezbollah is increasing the attacks, rocket attacks. Now, we've got two carrier groups in the area now. We've got A-10 Warthogs there in the area now. Supposedly as a deterrent to surrounding nations, but it doesn't look like they're going to be very deterred. So let's talk about this. The Psalm 83, that's what I was trying to think of. Psalm 83 foretells of a future 10-member alliance. Now, some people are saying, do you think this could be it? A week ago, no. The pieces were not lined up. They are beginning to line up. So in Psalm 83, it talks of a future 10-member alliance comprised of the Arab territories that mostly share common borders with Israel, who will form an alliance and seek to wipe Israel off the map. That's their words. This is prophesied. They will scheme among themselves and they will say, let's essentially remove Israel off the map. And verses 6 through 8 of Psalm 83 reveal the ancient identity of the nations in this alliance, which could also include notable terrorist organizations like Hamas, Hezbollah, ISIS, and more. It says, you know, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gebal, Ammon, Amalek, Philistia, and the inhabitants of Tyre. Even Assyria has allied with them, lending its strength to the descendants of Lot. Now that's from Psalm 83, 6 through 8. Now, none of those groups sound like the nations that are surrounding Israel. At the time when this was written, those people were identified by those names, those peoples, and those tribes. They are the same people today, but under a different name. The tents of Edom are descendants of Esau, Palestinians, and southern Jordanians. The Ishmaelites are Saudi Arabians. And now we see a week and a half ago, Saudi Arabia and Israel, they're actually getting along. They're talking about trade and bringing in a pipeline together. Well, all that's unraveling very quickly right now. Moab is the Palestinians and the central Jordanians. The Hagarites are the Egyptians. A lot of tension right now between Egyptians and Israel because of this. Gebal is the northern Lebanese. Ammon, Palestinians and northern Jordanians. Amalek is the Arabs south of Israel. Philistia, the Palestinians and Hamas of the Gaza Strip. The same people, this is where these people lived at the time, which are now these countries or territories. The inhabitants of Tyre are Hezbollah and the southern Lebanese. Assyria is the Syrians and perhaps northern Iraq included, because that was all, you know, part of Syria back then. And the children of Lot are Moab and Ammon. So these are all the same people, just 3,000 years later, different names. Now, there's an article, I read part of this from an article. This guy did a good job pulling all this together, so I wouldn't have to try to build a commentary out of, you know, Psalm 83. And this over at the Christian Post, Psalm 83, foretells of a future 10-member alliance. Now, the other one is Isaiah 17. Right now, Israel has just announced that they are going to go after Syria and remove Assad. They are going to remove this regime if Hezbollah attacks them. They're already starting to, and Iran is moving military equipment and assets into the area. It looks as all the signs, all the signatures of an impending attack, and I mean a major attack, not like Hamas cutting holes in a fence and sneaking across and killing a bunch of civilians. This is a military force to be reckoned with, heavily backed and funded by Iran. Tons more personnel, equipment. I mean, it's like a full-on military. Rockets, anti-aircraft, anti-tank rockets, mortars, artillery. I mean, it is a major force. And if they come out of Syria, then Israel is going to take out Damascus and the towns around it, because that is where all of these weapons are being stored, and this is where Iran is flying their flights into for this. So I'm going to talk about that when we come back. So stick around. We'll take a short break, and then we'll cover this up. We'll bring Lady Liberty in for segment four, so stick around, Patriots.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Going into segment three here of Radio Free Redoubt, the Sunday night weekly podcast. Welcome, everybody. Now, I kind of set the tone here. Started talking about the Psalm 83 war, this 10-member alliance. Now, there's a lot of talk about the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war, which is the Gog and Magog war. A lot of scholars believe Gog is the leader of Magog, which is ancient Russia. And there is an alliance of nations, Turkey, Iran, which is listed as Persia, because it used to be Persia up until, I don't know, the 1910s, I think. It was 1913, 1914, whenever it was they changed it from Persia to Iran. But for generations, for eons, it's been Persia. In the Bible, it's listed as Persia. Today, it's Iran. They're not Arabic, they're Persian. And they are allied with Russia, which makes Ezekiel 38 and 39 make sense that this army would come out of the north from Gog of Magog, which sounds like it could be Russia and Iran and Turkey. Turkey right now, they're saying we're going to back the Palestinians. This is creating a very complex situation because Turkey is, today anyway, a NATO country. So the United States is backing Israel. Turkey is saying it's going to back the Palestinians. And right now it's a lot of saber rattling and, you know, diplomatic finger wagging. But at some point that's going to change. So let me talk here briefly about Isaiah 17. And this is what caught my attention when I saw all of the activity of the Iranians flying into Syria, Hezbollah operating there, seemingly freely moving about. And there's no way this could happen without the Assad regime of Syria knowing about it. Of course, Russia and Syria, they're also real tight with each other. So I could see Russia taking a huge exception to Israel attacking. That could be one of the factors that puts the hook in the jaw, as the Bible says, into Gog and Magog and brings them down to come up against Israel. They are going to get annihilated. Everyone who comes up against Israel will be annihilated. Okay. Now, and one of those is going to be supernatural. It's going to be God's intervention. So it's not even going to be anything like, oh, the Israeli military is so awesome. Oh, they're so wonderful and their technology is just amazing. No, it's going to be, the whole world's going to be stunned because they're going to say, there's no way that God had to have done that. That's how that one's going to turn out. But Isaiah 17, let me read from you from prophecyproof.org. is a chapter that contains a prophecy about the total destruction of the city of Damascus and several other Mideast locations. Damascus, they're probably going to get nuked. Damascus is one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities in the world, if not the oldest. As a result, the prophecy remains unfulfilled, or as the time of this writing. Many believe the events of this chapter will be among the next prophetic events to occur. Some even think that Israel will nuke Damascus when the events of this chapter transpire. And so this is what it says. The chapter opens with the words, "the burden of Damascus," which indicates that Damascus is the subject of a troublesome prophecy. Verse 1 reveals the troublesome nature of the prophecy. The verse describes the city of Damascus as a ruinous heap. Verse 2 and 3 describe Aroer, a city in modern-day Jordan, and Ephraim, which is in northern Israel, as desolate and forsaken. Other places in Syria will also face destruction, as Isaiah mentions the remnant of Syria. So, before continuing, this article reads, it should be noted that some believe the events of this chapter occurred in the 8th century BC when Assyria attacked Syria and northern Israel. However, verse 1 says that Damascus will be taken away from being a city. This level of desolation has not occurred yet. It's never happened to Damascus. This indicates this is something to still come in the future. Verses 4 through 6 tell us what's happening during the general time frame when Damascus will become a ruinous heap. And verses 3 through 4 establishes the link between verses 1 and 3 and 4 onward. Verse 3 compares the glory of Damascus and the glory of the remnant of Syria at that time to the glory of the children of Israel. In other words, they're prosperous, they're doing well. Verse 4 expands on the glory of Jacob and Israel at that time. The phrase "in that day" appears in verse 4, which in an end-time context refers to the day of the Lord. That's judgment. The appearance of this phrase suggests the destruction of Damascus will likely occur around the time of the day of the Lord. And a lot of scholars say the day of the Lord is going to be the, not a day, but this time period, the tribulation. Verses 4, so we're right on the edge of that. Anyway, there's more to this, but I don't want to belabor that too much. But basically, Isaiah 17 prophesies the utter destruction of Damascus from being a city ever again. That's never happened before, and now we're seeing all these other pieces and parts coming into place just here in the last week. Now, there's another one here too, and this is the Gog and War of Gog and Magog. And this is an article from harvest.org. And this pastor does, you know, he does a good job with end times prophecy. He's talking about the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war with Russia coming in. Many Bible students and prophecy teachers believe it's modern-day Russia, Gog, or Magog. I think you can make a very good case for that. If you get out a map in the Middle East and look to the north of Israel, you'll find Russia, Why would Russia ever want to invade Israel? Well, there's another thing the Bible says about Magog. If she is indeed Russia, and that of one of her allies that will march with her is Persia. And of course, the other one is Syria, which would be wiped out. And that could be one of the, I guess, the impetus for Russia and Syria to march against Israel, is if this, I want to say, Isaiah 17 takes place because of this massive military movement, hypersonic missiles and everything else being fired on them from Damascus, where Iran, or modern-day Iran, Persia, is staging these attacks against Israel from. So we could very well be living in apocalyptic times, or see apocalyptic events of biblical proportions, might be more true than a lot of these newscasters even realize how close we are to this. So once again, I'm gravely concerned for the United States, because at some point all the nations of the world come against Israel. This is in the tribulation. And that means the United States also comes against Israel, their greatest ally. Right now, it's demonstrated. We have two carrier groups over there. We have special forces, special operations there. We've got A-10s. We've got so much over there that we're vulnerable, and we are being invaded on our southern border by communist Chinese saboteurs and intelligence officers that are preparing for what they believe is an imminent fight with Taiwan and then the United States, and to colonize the United States, according to General Che Heoshin. So we could be in a lot of trouble. Now, Israel will prevail. We don't have that guarantee. So something I think that we need to think very carefully about, what our future might look like here. We don't have that guarantee of protection. So I know it's not a lot of real happy news, and I don't want to get into doom and gloom, but if you're a Christian, well, then our hope rests in him. And he says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. He's already overcome the world, and we get to inherit that which he has in store for us. So if you don't belong to Christ, you have a very, very difficult time ahead of you. And for the rest of us, we don't fear those that can kill the body. We kill he who can, or we respect and revere and fear he who can kill the body and the soul. And when we belong to him, then we don't have to worry about that. But these are very, very interesting times. It looks like prophecy is unfolding right before our eyes. We're living it. Front row seats. So until he pulls us out of here, be prepared to be self-reliant and self-sufficient, and be prepared to defend life, liberty, and your country. All right, stick around. Segment 4 coming up right after this. This wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars. Wars and rumors of wars.
At the end of the day, either the communists win, destroy America, or we destroy the communists, because that's what they are.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, Patriots, to the fourth and final segment of episode 23-32. And I've got Codename segment four in the studio taking her seat right now. Good evening, Lady Liberty.
Good evening to you, and good evening all of you out there. Now that we are into a new era again.
Yes, we are. But like all the other eras, we're in it together. We're all here together.
That's right. And I also think that, yes, we are in it together. We're in it together as Christian patriots who absolutely love God and love our country.
That's right.
And I think that while we're describing ourselves as Christians, I think that we also better not assume that that means that we are doormats.
Right.
That means that we just say okay to everything an illegally elected government, according to these fraudulent, stolen elections, is telling us is going to happen. For instance, you know, I think the latest atrocity that's about ready to take place in America is that the liberals want us to take 1 million Palestinian refugees from Gaza.
Oh, I don't think so.
Exactly. And yet they're on their way here. They are already pretty much on their way here because they don't ask. They don't follow the laws. And I'm talking about our fraudulently elected government.
Yep.
They don't follow the laws. This is a communist coup. They now do whatever they want, and nobody holds them accountable.
You've got the entire Arab League nations, 10, 11 nations all around the Mediterranean over there.
Yep.
Not one of them wants to take Palestinians. What does that tell you?
No kidding.
Nobody wants them.
That's right.
We definitely don't want them or need them here in the United States to continue on with their jihad. And now you got these communist, I don't even know. Well, this is the red-green axis that we were warned of.
Right.
The communist, the alignment of communists and jihad coming together. Now you've got these communist groups that are marching in the street yelling for intifada.
Right.
In the United States.
Right.
Marching by the hundreds.
They have no business being here. Just like another million Hamas, quote-unquote, refugees.
Right.
That is called a free plane ticket to the United States, is what that's called. And so if that helps in their jihad expense, then by all means, they're going to go right ahead. And I just have to say, put the brakes on and absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. And so what about all of us Americans that are saying, no, absolutely not. They're not coming here. What about all of us Americans that are saying, close the border, like
right.
10, like 2.5 years ago, close the border. What about all of us Americans that are paying taxes? And the whole point of paying taxes is so that we have funding for our representation that is following the law and keeping us safe inside our country from both foreign and domestic threats. That is what paying taxes is even for. And is that happening? Not at all.
They're not. Matter of fact, they just sent, $75 million. This just got leaked. $75 million to the Palestinians just before their attack.
Right.
Now, we've been seeing this word, intifada, thrown around a lot here in the last week. So with all these uprisings in support of Hamas, the support of raping and killing of children and women, the butchering of innocent civilians. Intifada you go to Wikipedia, it's the concept of intifada was first used in modern times in 1952 with the Kingdom of Iraq when socialist and communist parties took to the streets to protest the Hashemite monarchy. Intifada is a rebellion or uprising or a resistance movement. It's a key concept in contemporary Arabic usage referring to legitimate uprising against oppression.
Right. Well, and we're talking, look at the Boston Tea Party. Okay.
Right.
Look at that big uproar that it caused because there was taxation on the tea without representation.
Right.
And that was enough to cause them to go to war, basically. Right. And look at how much more we are getting pushed around than them. Our rights are getting trampled. We're in the middle of a communist coup
yes.
that nobody is even doing anything about.
And our southern border is being invaded by communist militants and Islamic militants.
That's right. And here come another million Hamas terrorists.
Right.
Who love to kill unarmed civilians.
Right.
As well as children and babies. And we already know that. In fact, on Marjorie Taylor Greene's channel, there she is in a picture of her shooting an AK. And it says, in order to be safe and civil society, buy guns. Train to responsibly own, care for, and use guns. Carry guns with you as many places as you can. Fight against anti-gun legislation and defeat gun bans and end gun-free zones. Guns
yes.
aren't scary. Bad people are. Precisely. And there she is in Congress. And I have to say, she's one of the few doing what she's getting paid for, or at least trying her best to do what she's getting paid for, because almost none of the other schleps will support her and actually take any kind of an aggressive action. And this was what I was going to point to in the whole premise of we are Christian patriots, but we are not supposed to be doormats to evil,
right.
especially not to evil. It's an insult to God to cower before evil because God gave us the authority to trample over serpent, every scorpion, and over all the power of the enemy.
Right.
And so anybody that cowers and just lets evil dominate over them and their whole lives is a disgrace to the Lord.
That's right.
And you'll find that, you know, here people are thinking, well, we can't do that. We can't react. We can't defend ourselves. We can't be violent because we're Christians. I beg to differ. We have to look at the whole entire Bible. Look at what Elijah did. Look at what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah was beating people and pulling their hair, and that's where we came up with the whole term. We're going to go Nehemiah on him,
right?
And look at Phinehas. Phinehas jumped right up and ran a javelin through two adulterers right in front of the whole crowd, and God was like, wow.
Stopped the plague that was killing him.
God was so proud of him for doing that. He stopped the plague right then and there. He's like, good job, Phinehas.
Yeah.
Right? You know, look at David, who was after his own heart, who was brave and courageous and always sought God's input, always sought God's direction. And he was a fearless warrior on behalf of God.
Against who? Philistines.
Yes, exactly.
Against the same people we're fighting now.
That's right. And so those of you that, or even like Samuel, when they didn't kill whomever they were supposed to, either Samuel or Nathan would go in and basically slaughter whoever did not get slaughtered that God told those people to slaughter.
Right.
And so those are the major prophets in the Bible. And why did they do it? Because God told them to do that.
Right.
And so when we're thinking of, oh, well, here comes another million Hamas terrorists on behalf of our enemies, the commie coup who's taken over this
That's
government,
right.
and we're just supposed to do nothing.
They're solidifying the red-green axis, communists and jihadists.
That's right.
Coming together.
Yep.
For the destruction of the Christian West.
Well, and
Israel.
And the funny part is that the commies use Muslims as tools.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
fodder.
They use them as their fodder weaponry. Basically, they throw the Muslims out at it first.
Right.
And you know, let the enemy take down the Muslims first because they don't like the Muslims either. In fact, in my book, I describe that the United Nations has a whole book on things that they consider to be unsustainable. Do you know what one of those items is? They think they lump it all together. They call it the Judeo-Islamic Christian order. is completely unsustainable. And so their plan to eradicate everything that they list as unsustainable means that it's going to be under fire. They're going to plan to get rid of it at some point.
Right.
And so all three of our religions are under fire. They say all three of them are unsustainable. And so their plan, they know they can use the Muslims who hate the Jews and the Christians to attack first the Jews and then the Christians.
Right.
And then they'll just take out the Muslims.
Then they'll snuff out the Muslims as soon as they're done with their usefulness.
That's right.
Yeah. It is a diabolical thing, really.
The whole thing. It's one satanic plan wrapped in another satanic plan, and it just keeps going and going.
Yeah.
And so this other part that I wanted to share with you that quite frankly has me beyond stirred up is, did you know that families who cross the border get $2,200 a month in universal income from our government? Did you also know that many of them know that if they split up and each take a child, they will get $4,400 a month in universal income?
Unreal.
So $4,400 a month, that's more than you and I make.
Right, by far.
Meaning $52,800 per year, plus free health care, free education, a cell phone, an Uber or bus ride to the destination of their choice, and pretty soon an app is coming that allows them to what? Vote for Democrats by phone. The last one is what every leftist is dying to make a reality.
That's right.
And so, yikes.
Well, just like we've been saying, the planned destruction of America by the people that stole this last election, last two elections, if not more. And, you know, this is the same thing that Michael Yon and the other guy from Muckraker and others have been down there interviewing these. Who do you support, Trump or Biden? And they're all yelling, Biden,
right?
Because they're getting all this free stuff. Now they want to give them the ability to vote with a phone app that we issue them.
Right, right. And so a phone. So forget about legitimate ID. Forget about being a legitimate citizen. Forget about our whole law system altogether. Right. This is the name of the communist coup game. They don't follow any of the laws. They make them up each day as it goes by.
Yeah.
They have no lawful process. They don't belong here. They should have been arrested. There should have been some sheriff organization of sheriffs that all got together and called it treason.
Yep.
When it was treason, it still is. Every single day it's treason. They all need to be handcuffed and dragged to the nearest prison and charged with treason.
Yep. Amen. Amen, Lady Liberty.
I'm sorry, I'm a little fired up having just paid taxes to a system that refuses to honor its constitutional obligation by oath.
And just sent $75 million to Hamas.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. Well, that's what I'm afraid of, that we're going to get what's coming to us as a nation, that we, you and I, the patriots, are going to have to pay the price for the decisions that the leaders have made. And there goes America, and here comes China.
Yeah,
you know,
well, exactly, because we have nobody to defend us anymore. The left communist coup is in complete control of our military.
Which is all over in the Middle East now.
Right. And so, wow, that leaves us basically on our own in the middle of our own nation with no representation.
Right. Well, pray for the Republic. Pray for Israel. Pray for his mercy on us, that he will protect the remnant.
No
right?
kidding. Yep.
Well, thanks for those updates, I think.
Well, yeah, I'm not so sure I'm thankful that I brought those. I'm not so sure that, you know, it's better to know the truth than to be lied to.
I was just going to say, I'd rather know the truth. Sometimes there's some truth you just really would rather that you didn't know, but we don't want to be willfully ignorant either.
That's right. And I mean, there's something to be said about ignorance is bliss, because that seemed to have disappeared in my life a long time ago.
Well, ignorance was bliss until your village was overran with Hamas terrorists, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you guys have a blessed and a safe week. Thank you, Lady Liberty, for that input.
I think you're welcome.
Yes. All right, guys. Join us each morning, 7 a.m. Pacific time for the morning commute, a 30-minute commute show there. Otherwise, be safe. Have your head on a swivel. Get your preps together and topped off. And join us next Sunday for Radio Free Redoubt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.